This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
An intense debate going on right now about Fritos.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't want to be in the room with Fritos?
No.
What kind of comment is that?
You open a bag of Fritos and it smells like foot cheese. I mean, it's a bad scene.
And the Bulldog.
Party wrecking, palate destroying, stinky foot cheese, grossest chip of all time. In a blow up.
It's Mike Shope.
Bulldog. No, you're talking about the All-American chip.
The All-American chip? The Mexican chip? What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
And the Bulldog.
Apple pie and Fritos.
Apple pie and Fritos?
It's the apple pie of chips, he
you
says.
You are disgusting.
It is the apple pie of chips. Mike, you're right. It's the apple pie of chips.
You people are gross.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Mike, don't you think you go to a party and see the Frito, you think this person knows what he's doing? This is the person who's a sharp,
no, party I think that guy doesn't want...
And Miles Davis.
That guy had sent out hollow invites and he didn't want anyone to be at his party. That's what he's doing.
Cold is my favorite moment ever.
On WGR.
Sorry, just sending a message to one of my leagues. Shopes and Dreams.
Yep.
I've been in the mood for it today. I've been up for it today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the NFL draft is next week.
Because you woke up? What do you mean you're in the mood for it today? What day do I walk in here? If you're here before me, what day do I walk in here and you and Joe are not engaged in the conversation about fantasy football? When does that ever happen?
I would say it's probably happened most days for about a month.
Okay.
I have not been thinking about it very much
in
the last month. But I read Sigmund Bloom today. I wanted to get him. He's coming on Monday. And so I'm thinking about the real draft. And in this Dynasty League, I'm in, I think, four now. You really want to know what's going to happen with these rookies, because what team they go to when they get picked is going to matter. And then we draft those guys after the real draft is over.
I got to get in one of these Dynasty Leagues. Is there any spots in any of these leagues?
Maybe. Yes. Hang on, Joe. Yes, there's a spot in mine if you want it.
No, it's all right. It's fine.
Or you could start one of your own.
I don't want it. I had to rethink it. No.
The Bulldog Dynasty
League. Now that I've reconsidered, I don't have time for it. I'm too busy.
Yeah, what would the Bulldog League be like? Do whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
I don't care if you pay me.
I don't. Whatever. I'm going to start. It'll be like a league.
How many points did you have? Because I didn't keep track.
The league will be the homepage for it. It'll be like MySpace.
Right.
Some outmoded social media site that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
That's what it's going to be.
Fullback will be a position
right
in the lineup.
Right.
H-back.
Right.
You have to start one H-back.
Yep.
Punter. You get points for net yards.
Something like that. Very old school.
Yeah.
You got a spot? You got any spots in any of those leagues you run?
I got to check. I got to check with my co-commissioners.
So what?
See if there's room.
What is tight end as an idea at nine? What is that? What is that right now? Is that like what we want? Is that too unlikely? Do we think? I'm not sure it is. I wouldn't rule it out.
I am ruling it out. I just can't. I can't fathom that. The way they sound mostly about football and about what they want to be here would lead them to taking a tight end at nine. I just can't. I'd like to be wrong about that. And, you know, I've been have a running theme this week, so fine. You know, next week they do that. I'm like, oh, holy cow, look at that. It just really would surprise me. I think it's more likely that they think they're going to get more push out of and want to win in such a way. I still don't think they need to score 35 points to win games. I think they want to get somebody who's going to help them take the ball away and pressure the quarterback. And I don't want to have a like a weird inflection on my voice when I say those things, because those things have value. I would just expect that they value those things more than having the top tight end in the draft, that they would rather have the second or third best pass rusher or the best defensive tackle or second best defensive tackle. They would find more value in that for what they want to be and as they're building this thing. And I think, you know, the merits of that, I think, are, you know, it's debatable. It's football. Of course it's debatable. But they've got a pretty nice core put together on defense with, you know, the what they've got in the secondary already. They're not exactly super young at safety, but they're not in danger of aging out there yet. Tre'Davious White's real nice. Milano looks pretty nice. Edmonds looks real nice. And what am I missing? You know, I don't have a Hellraiser up front that's going to be here for the next 5 to 7 years anyway. You know, I just lost Kyle Williams. He aged out. You know, Harrison Phillips is, you know, it's a third-round pick. I mean, I don't know what I'm really expecting there. But they've got, I think, a bunch of role players up there. And then on the edges, I think I'm a need there. And that's because Shaq Lawson hasn't really come through as someone that I want to count on to be dangerous. And Hughes is close to aging out. And then I've got Trent Murphy, who I don't know if I can really count on him. You know, he flashed when he was healthy, but his health is an issue, and his age is an issue. So I think edge would make maybe the most sense to me. I think it's the position they're most in need of. Like, I know Kyle Williams retired, but they re-signed Jordan Phillips. They've got Harrison Phillips. They've got guys. So I think they can get by there. The edge is where they're really lacking. So I would be surprised if they haven't talked themselves into that. And I think it's warranted. So I can't envision them taking a tight end over all that is where I really end up.
Doing a search here while you're talking to see if the Bills have ever had a tight end in the Pro Bowl. I think the answer is no.
That probably is right. I mean, who?
You don't even have to be that elite to be in the Pro Bowl.
No.
Maybe they have two tight ends per team in that game.
I don't know.
They probably have at least two.
Yeah, at least two. Yeah, if not three.
They've never had a tight end in the Pro Bowl. Could be right. My computer's having a tough day. But Pro Football Reference is where I would look, and they have the play index, and you search Bills, any season, Pro Bowl selection, at least one. I have nobody on the list.
I mean, who would, you know, we talked about it earlier, like who's their best tight end ever? Like, Metzelaar's had the job for a long time. He surely leads them in receptions by a tight end, I would think, all time. But
in the 60s, the Bills had tight ends in the Pro Bowl when there were 8 or 10 or 12 teams in their league.
Okay.
And if that wasn't called the Pro Bowl, forgive me, please, because I'm just going by this. Like, mm-hmm. They played maybe college all-stars, or they might have played the championship team. Different things like all that used to happen.
But in the era of football,
post-merger, never.
Right, right, right. So, well, I mean, that doesn't mean these guys wouldn't value the position, because the game has changed, and the emphasis on having that guy is different than it was back then. But I still, I don't know, I think these guys are closer to yesteryear than they would be to, hey, where do I find the next Travis Kelce? But, you know, I don't have to be right about that.
Well, I tend to agree. I generally agree with that. But I also think it's not so bad if they think, like Sal, the way Sal was talking, you know, a great player up front on defense would be worth a lot. So I can respect that. And there's also, like, the randomness of the draft. I mean, if they pick a tight end in the third round, then there's some chance that that guy will be really good. Travis Kelce was maybe not picked in the first round, you know? Like, those guys who were, Kittle wasn't. Those guys at the top of the league are not first-round picks. Gronkowski wasn't. So if it's in the second or third round, I'm going to think, well, it's possible. And that'll be, if they pick a tight end as late as the third round, maybe even the fourth, but as late as the third round, that'll be an interesting person to me. Like, all right, well, you're doing that. You might even think they're starting this year. Like a third round pick, you might even be thinking that way. Because they're not really starting from anywhere. Proven, at least, at that position. So that could still be fruitful if they were to do that. Late in the draft or, you know, after the draft, I wouldn't think of it that way.
Right, right.
But first three rounds?
Yeah.
Certainly first two.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I asked Sal earlier if it's possible they think they're all set. And, you know, I don't think it's impossible that they would think that. I mean, they did add this blocking guy. The Croft, you know, they paid him to come here.
Right.
And Kroom, you know,
Kroom, he's okay.
Kroom flashed, you know, he's got some ability there. Those three guys sort of lead me to, I don't know, how much of a priority do they think this is? You know, does it outweigh other, you know, is it a glaring need? No, it sort of fits into the definition of how Bean talked about the roster overall. We don't have any glaring needs. That's what we did in free agency. Sure, we'd like to be better in some spots, but I mean, would tight end be prioritized over the way I just laid out where they are on the defensive line and especially at defensive end? I mean, with access to the players that they'll have access to up there, I just can't fathom that they would get to, yeah, let's take Hockenson here at nine. It would really blow my mind if they did that.
803-0550 is our number for comments. Did you guys see the spider at Matt Barkley's house?
Yes, I did. Yes.
So Matt Barkley, Bills quarterback Matt Barkley, tweeted a picture of a spider in his house. He's like, help, what is this spider? And it looks massive and fierce in this picture. I read through some of the comments, and he replied to lots of people throughout, lots of other players and people in the media. Like, there were a lot of check marks on the list. And he tweeted at one point to somebody that it was about 2 inches long. So it's not like it was the size. I mean, it's not like it was bigger than that. But still, like, how big a spider is a spider that's 2 inches long? It'll get your attention.
Yeah.
Right? It's big enough.
Yeah.
It's big enough. This picture of Barkley's spider will get your attention. And so...
Yeah, it looks like a prank. Like, it
could, yeah.
It's so big that it looks like it has to be fake.
You want to have something sitting there next to it so you can appreciate, like, how... Like, a quarter
right.
or something so yeah. you can appreciate how big it is. But anyway, so he's saying, like, what is this? And a lot of people told him, just burn down your house.
Right, get out of there. Right.
Just go ahead and burn down your house and start over. You know, you think it's probably a nice house. He said it was here.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Right. That's right.
So
in the basement where the kids play is how we said it.
Yes. And so the most common response he seemed to get about this spider was it was a wolf spider. Is that a term you know?
No, I'd never heard it before reading these replies.
Right. Wolf spider. And people were writing that they eat bugs. They're actually good
right.
to have.
Uh-huh.
Because they, you know, whether it's cockroaches or bugs, like they get rid of other stuff you don't want. Mm-hmm. They take care of other stuff you don't want.
Right.
So still.
I'm supposed to want this beast.
You're supposed
in
to want
house.
A beast spider.
Right. This massive killer looking spider.
I don't
spider.
Know if I want that.
No, I definitely don't.
No, I think I don't.
I'll step on some other bugs. Like I'll lay out some ant traps, whatever. I'll do what I gotta do. I don't want that thing in my house. I was very freaked out by that. By that picture and like just the thought of, you know, what is in the ground around your house or like crawling around in your basement that you just never see was what I think of when I see that. Like I've got a pretty dank, it's not damp, but it's dark and it's not finished. You know, I painted the floor, I water sealed the walls with white to like brighten up the room because it was like gray and really dark in my basement when we moved into the house. So I cleaned up and brightened it up, and over the years it sort of deteriorated. It's not a place you want to hang out. You know, there's a workbench down there, there's a lot of clutter, and the laundry's not. That's it. It's just not. And so I see a picture in what I assume, because he says his kids are playing there, in what's a finished looking basement and just think, what kind of wildlife and insects are in my basement? I mean, my basement, it would be like, it looks like it would be harboring those sorts of things, and that totally freaked me out.
Yeah. So on Wikipedia, the wolf spider, one thing it says is that the Carolina wolf spider is the official state spider of South Carolina, to which you might ask, do states really have official state spiders? It does say here that South Carolina is the only state that does.
Okay, well.
So good luck to Matt Barkley with that. I don't know what you do.
Right.
I don't know what you do. I think you're supposed to like not worry about spiders because they really don't want you. Right? That's the deal with spiders. They really don't want to mess with you.
Right.
But, you know, most people, I think, probably get a little freaked out there.
Yeah, especially if it's like that side. Like that, you're not going to know when you see that thing that it is not harmful. I mean, you're just not. It's too big to not have you think, oh my God, this is going to hurt. This is going to be bad. You'd at least want to get it probably out of your house. Like if you see that thing, if you even want to go near it, you might just want to try to cordon it off so that it crawls back out underneath however it got in and just go on your way.
That's okay. What I try to do.
I try to usher them out. Usher it out. Hey, you know, let's just a little that way. Okay. Just keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
Yeah. And then you'll talk to it like that way.
Right.
Dude, go that way.
Right.
See, the door is open right now for you.
Right.
This is how I talked when I had a bird in my house last year. Come on.
Right.
How much more obvious can I make it? Right. I've opened the door wide open here. Stop flying into the radiator.
Right.
All right. Here is where. Don't you smell the air? Maybe you can smell other birds or worms.
Right.
Isn't this obvious? Right. You feel the breeze out here?
Right.
Bird. Come on, bird.
Yes. This is what you do. This is what I did when the raccoon was in the cottage last summer. Like, you just come on.
Figure it out.
There's millions of opening.
These are descendants of the dinosaurs. That's a lot of years of evolution. Can you know where the air is? But they don't. They still don't. They still just fly into the window or whatever. They just can't figure it out.
They're probably a little freaked out.
I'm also
Yeah, right. Well, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't talk to these birds.
No, there's no negotiating with them.
Quincy is with us. Hello, Quincy.
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
Fantastic, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. So I just wanted to clear up some of this nonsense about, you know, the possibility of the Bills drafting a tight end at number 9. Do I think that's going to happen? No. We just gave Tyler Kroft a contract. And as you guys alluded to, there's a lot that needs to be done, especially on the defensive line. And they're meeting with guys like, you know, Ed Oliver, who I believe is one of the guys who's on the Bills' radar. So I believe if White or Oliver ends up falling to the Bills, we'll end up going there. And hopefully we can come back around and stay pat, you know, in the second round or either trade up to grab a guy like Hakeem Butler, 6'6 receiver, 100 yards last year. And that makes more sense than trying to trade up or trying to draft an offensive weapon at number 9, because there's not necessarily a need for a receiver. There's not a need for tight end. There is, however, a place to get better, as you guys alluded to. So I absolutely agree there.
I agree with some of what you're saying here. Thanks for the call. I agree with some of that, but you can also look at the Bills' depth chart and say they have a need to get better everywhere. Just because you've signed players like Tyler Kroft and John Brown and so on, it's not like you're really good now. I mean, that is not what those signings do. What they do is they sort of get you above water. And then maybe you can make that work and be competent. Competent would be a big step up for the Bills on offense. I mean, that is just not what they've been really for 20 years. So that's what you're doing by that. Do you still, if you had all the picks and you picked a wide receiver in the top 10 and a tight end in the top 10 and an offensive tackle even in the top 10, they're all starting for you. I mean, they're all starting for you. So in that sense, you can say that they need that. Do they need that more than an edge rusher? You know, not necessarily. That's debatable. But those guys would make the Bills better, probably, unless they were busts. Thanks again, Quincy. Nice to hear from you. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. I've got a game for you about Wayne Gretzky.
All right. A Gretzky game.
I got a Gretzky game for you. We just had the 20th anniversary of his last game, which is amazing. And I've got a fun list for you about Gretzky. Again, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
If he falls to you, I think that's the best case scenario. He's an instant impact type of player. I think that TJ Hockenson is almost that 1B in that argument, but still is a tight end. There still is a little bit more of a period of time where it takes for these guys at the tight end position to assimilate to the NFL game. And I think with Oliver, he brings a dynamic in the interior of the defensive line where he's going to help you stop the run, and he's going to ramp up that pass rush, which they finished 26th in the NFL in sacks last year.
From today's morning show, Matt Parrino, New York Upstate. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Friday. It's Good Friday. So what does that mean?
It means that some people in our audience now have spent the afternoon quietly contemplating all the things they've done wrong in their lives. I don't know. There used to be a
wow. That can take a long time.
Yeah, well.
You need a whole day for that.
No, it's not the whole day. They just carve out a few hours in the afternoon. There was like a quiet, I don't remember. It's the afternoon. I don't know, noon to three, one to three. I don't. There was a couple of hours where we weren't allowed to do anything besides just sit quietly. And thus the contemplation would ensue. Or you just
wait a minute.
Or you just think about how much you hate the fact that you can't watch TV right now.
Right. That's what this day would be for you, is uh-huh. Your parents would make you sit quietly alone.
Yes.
For hours.
A couple of hours.
Joe, can you believe this?
Huh? No, I've never.
Yeah, that would have meant like no Twitter.
No anything.
No anything. Right. Really,
you can't even read a book.
Really, it was just no TV. Right. No consumption of any kind of outside material.
Stare at the wall.
Yeah. Sit, contemplate your existence and how you can be better. Yeah. There's a name for it. Like, someone's going to yell at me because I'm, you know, not a practicing Catholic anymore. But there was something my parents used to
call it. It doesn't seem like it'd be a very religious thing to yell at someone else for that.
Do you follow religion?
Yeah, I follow it, and I think that. I think that if you're yelling at someone else because of their religion, then you're not paying attention.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but that's how it works, it seems.
Off Bulldog's lawn, I'm saying it.
Right.
Leave him alone.
Thank you. That's what that would be.
That happens to us a lot, though. Like, that's part of the deal here. You get yelled at for stuff that you think. Even if it's like about dumb sports or about anything, even if it's about something important, you know, whatever. People can be offended by things, and sometimes they have reason to be. I met two guys today. This is very nice. I like when this happens very, very much. Two guys today separately who both said, listen, I don't want to bother you, but I just love listening to your show. And one guy's name was Dan. I met him at the Museum of Science. I was there with my family today. He's like, I just wanted to say hi to you and tell you that I really like your show. And I said, thank you, and I'll tell Chris this. He'll appreciate it. And the guy said, I mean, some of the criticism you guys get online is so dumb. What is the deal with that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even think about it. He's like, that's right, you wouldn't. But I said, but it is dumb, you're right. I'm not telling you whether I acknowledge it or that I've ever seen it, but I will tell you that it is really dumb a lot.
Yeah.
And then I met a guy at lunch. And he was kind of the same way, Charlie. He was just very nice and say, you know, love listening to your show. Thank you for it.
Good.
Whatever. He still charged me, but that's fine. Yeah. That's totally fine. I'm just kidding. I mentioned the pool thing yesterday, and my sister-in-law was like, why don't you just tell them it's not acceptable, and then they'll move you up? You mean, you're Mike Schoep. Why don't you tell them that? Like, listen, my pool is not more important than anybody else's. If they say they can't open it until June, then that's what they're saying.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. She's like, well, I would. Like, well, that's fine.
Right.
I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, for me, that would be wrong.
Right.
I'm not putting the heat on
right.
because you're doing your job and your schedule says I can't come over right. and open your pool for you until June. So that's how it goes.
Right.
Where were we?
Have you made a decision? Like, do you?
No,
you,
I have
you
not.
Any closer to deciding to do this yourself or not?
A guy called yesterday and offered to do it, like to have his company to do it. And I'm probably going to call him. It crossed my mind today, but I didn't do that. I probably will.
Okay.
I heard from a lot of people about how hard a job it is, and it was very mixed, including calls we took. Some people will tell you it's not hard at all. The guy who called in was like, it's just way more work than it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in life, usually when that's the deal, I will call somebody to have them do it because I'm lazy and I'm not that knowledgeable about fixing things and doing like real work.
Right.
So that's probably where this ends, how this ends.
Right.
But I don't know yet.
Okay.
I might try it.
Good luck. If you need help, let me know. I won't be available, but I mean, just let me know.
Just tell you.
Just tell me, and then I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I got a hockey thing. I can't, I'll be in Syracuse for state camp or some. I'll make up something, even if it's false.
just lie. You don't even have to do that. You can just do what you've done the last 2 days at 5:30, which is not be in the room. You just leave. You don't even have to tell me. You just not there. Okay. I don't need a story. I don't need a story. You're just not here. Okay. What am I going to do? You're not here. I'm just going to read the whole update. That's fine. I'm happy to do that.
I'm sorry. This is not going to be a trend. I promise. We'll get it together.
Hey, Easter is Sunday.
Yes.
Why is it Sunday? Go ahead. You're ready for this.
It is.
How do they determine when Easter is?
It's always the Sunday after the Masters. No, that's not right.
No, it's not always the Sunday after the Masters.
Is
the Masters ever on Easter Sunday? If it were to line up where Easter is, would they move it? Or can it be on Easter?
I think it has been on Easter.
Okay.
I'm not positive, but I feel like there have been years where I've watched it and then gone to my parents' house or watched it at my parents' house. And that would be Easter. That would be an Easter Sunday thing there. So
okay.
No, you know, you just told us this when Lent began, and I've already forgotten.
So it's the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's late because it was a full moon, like, right at the end of winter.
Okay. Like a day or two before spring, there was a full moon.
It wasn't. I think it was even, like, the day of or something.
Okay.
Actually, I read that. So there are two first days of spring that are acknowledged. One is the vernal equinox. And one is like the fixed, I don't know if this is religion or what, but there's like a fixed, March 21 is the fixed date that mm-hmm. maybe religion recognizes or Christianity recognizes. And because you need to know this for when Easter is.
Uh-huh.
So there has to be a rule about when is the first day of spring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the 21st and then there's the 20th, which is when it was actually the beginning of spring, like the middle of the day. Is it when it becomes spring?
Okay.
And had that been acknowledged as the first day of spring by the church or by whoever it is that decides this, then Easter would have been March 24th or 22nd.
Wow.
Easter would have been the earliest it can be.
Right.
Because there was the full moon was like right at the beginning of spring.
That's crazy.
Easter would have been a month ago.
Yeah, I can't.
How you decide when spring starts is, in this case, was the difference between a month of when Easter would be.
Right. And we're at the farthest end we could be. I don't remember Easter ever being in March, but.
Yeah, it happens.
It probably has happened. Yeah,
yeah, right. It happens.
I don't think
the Masters is in March.
No, not.
I'm not sure the Masters has ever been in
not
March.
Not ever that I remember, no.
I watched the Jack Nicklaus. The hour-long show on Jack Nicklaus before the Masters Saturday or Sunday. I think it was Saturday. And it was really good. I like Nicklaus stuff. Did you like him growing up? Were you a Nicklaus guy? I did.
I don't think so. I don't recall having a real strong feeling about him. I remember liking Johnny Miller.
That's before my time.
Yeah. But Jack, I don't recall, like, it didn't mean anything to me. I mean, I was a grown up. I was 21 years old when he won his last Masters. I don't remember that having any impact on me at all. I don't remember thinking like, "Oh, good," or "Oh, crap." Or
I loved it.
Just nothing. I
always wanted Nicklaus to win as a kid. 86 when he won was amazing to me. When he lost to Watson at Pebble at the Open, like 82, when Watson holed out from the rough.
That,
I was mad. I was upset about that. because I always liked Nicklaus. Yeah. Watson says in this documentary, maybe this is common knowledge to people who like really know golf, but Watson said that, like, this part is common knowledge, I think, that everybody loved Palmer. And so when Nicklaus, I knew this, I guess, when Nicklaus came on the scene out of Ohio State, like, he was disliked.
You're right.
Fat Jack.
He was taking attention away from Palmer.
Yeah, and he was, you know, as good or better than Palmer, and he was beating him, and, like, people loved Palmer.
Right.
So they didn't like Nicklaus, uh-huh. And Watson said, like, he was one of those people. He just did not like Nicklaus as a fan when he was young.
Yeah.
He just disliked him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I remember Johnny Miller. I don't remember that I liked him or disliked him. I'm sitting here now trying to think, like, who's the first golfer that I would have been rooting for or, like, you know, cared about their results? And, I mean, I don't know. I think I get pretty much into the 90s before I'm going to give you anything.
You get to Mickelson?
Yeah.
Before you cared about anybody?
Maybe. I remember liking Craig Stadler.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I remember, you know, but, you know, no, I don't think I ever had, like, a guy. I watched those tournaments, but I don't remember having any real rooting interest.
I liked Seve a lot.
Like, golf was just a curiosity to me. Like, I started playing it as a teenager at Kaz. So, I mean, I'm still in high school when I'm first playing golf, and I played it pretty much my whole life. But I don't think I was really into the guys on the tour. I sort of missed Nicklaus. Like, I never really dug into it.
Well, anyway, that's why Easter is Sunday.
Yes, and right, just to bring it
I
all
guess
home
if
here.
You had a golfer you liked, when you were sitting there in quiet contemplation on Good Friday, you could have thought about you could have thought about your favorite golfer, but that was that was not a thing for you. We have the Gretzky game to play. We're going to play a game coming up at 6. We talked about Jeopardy today. A guy who is a sports bettor is destroying records on Jeopardy, and he's using analytics and Moneyball sort of stuff to figure out how to crush it. He's going for the big dollar amounts early. He's looking for the daily doubles, and he's betting it all on the daily doubles. This guy's just like changing Jeopardy. So that's interesting. And we talked about the Raiders today. We may have Sal back for you later on in the show, and that was a conversation we had with Sal about how the Raiders are sending home all their scouts because reportedly they don't trust certain of them or all of them to keep the information, you know, under wraps. So how much do scouts really get to know about what the team's plan is? It's an interesting thing to think about as the draft gets closer. Round one of the NFL draft from Nashville is Thursday night, and it'll be on ESPN. It'll be on NFL Network. It'll also be on ABC, and they're having, like, country singers. The ABC telecast will be different than the sports network ones.
Okay.
And it'll be, like, way more for people who just would never watch the draft. Okay. So you've been warned. If you want to watch it on ABC, you're going to get a different, you know, style than you will get. I've liked the NFL Network ones before. The last couple of years I've been out because we've been betting on the picks.
Right.
And I don't know if that's happening this
Mayock
time.
Leaving probably puts a little bit of a hole in that NFL Network show. That's been his gig, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I still watch ESPN.
John Gruden did ESPN's draft coverage. Right. Like, they're now they're together with the Raiders.
Right.
They should both still be on those broadcasts, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Just talking. The Raiders have 3 first-round picks. They'd be great gets for the networks.
Yes.
What are you going to do now? Oh, I'm up. Right? Guy on the panel. I'm up.
Right.
Where I'm on the clock.
Just trash what Elway does with Denver. I don't know what the hell Denver's doing.
They are a joke.
Are you kidding? Flacco.
Yeah, like just really over the top where you wonder if he's actually serious. That'd be great from sports. Yes. Sports people, like kind of the way Popovich talks, but, you know, not him. And you go, wait a minute, is that person serious? And they don't tell you. The next person, they tell you that they really liked the person they were just crushing yesterday. Like, no, that was just a joke.
Yeah.
Or was it? There could be a lot more mystery in sports sound bites than there are. Most of the time, they're just totally empty and useless. Be nice if you could just actually... Another thing to think about on a Good Friday, when you're thinking to yourself about whatever, you could think about that. Spend some time on
they
that.
They all lie, but you could lie at least in an interesting fashion.
Exactly. Well just put.
Give me some interesting lying.
Exactly. Stay tuned for the Gretzky game if you like Gretzky trivia. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on WGR.
All right, tickets to go see Brantley Gilbert at Darien Lake on Friday, August 30th, went on sale this morning at LiveNation.com. We've got one more pair to give away right now. Caller 5 at 644-9878. Minimum value of this prize is $80, courtesy of the nice folks at Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Again, this is Brantley Gilbert, Friday, August 30th at Darien Lake. Good luck.
Cubs over Arizona today, 5-1. Kyle Hendricks, 7 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, all of which looks great on my bench. Can't beat yourself up over stuff like that. No. It was still maybe a good decision. I say maybe. I mean, he had a tough start, so I'm all right. Yeah. But you hate to have that, you know, when it's so good like that. Watch it on your bench, do nothing for you.
Right. Well, it depends on maybe who you've got in his place.
Oh, I've got a lot.
Yeah.
I like my pitching on that team.
Okay.
I've liked my performance so far in fantasy baseball, even though I've really never played it. I'm excited and generally happy.
I'm probably going to regret asking another follow-up question about this, but every Monday you have to reset the lineup?
3 out of 4 leagues every Monday. Okay. 1 is every day.
All right. I had a clue. Oh, 1 is every day. Wow. I had a clue that was the case because I saw someone on my Twitter feed, was not you, Monday early said, Patriots Day, 11 a.m. start for the Red Sox. Make sure you're on top of your lineup situations to get an early game here.
And some leagues will lock everybody at the first game on a Monday, and some it slides. Like if your team doesn't play until 7, you can take that guy out until 7.
Okay.
Like that varies too. We'll have a Gretzky game, 20 years since his retirement. Will Joe know Gretzky trivia? But Joe would never have seen Gretzky.
No.
That's kind of weird, but...
Yeah.
Will you know answers to Gretzky trivia? Will you...
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Are they stat related?
Yeah.
Because, like, I could tell you right now, like, his seasons. Not all of them, but, like...
That would impress me.
Yeah. Wow.
92 goals, 212 points. Like, I could do... I think I got it.
1981-82.
I can remember him as a coach. Will there be any Coyotes coach questions on here?
1981-82, 92 goals and 212 points. And then he had an assist year, at least one assist year that was bigger than that. What was his second highest goal scoring year? How many?
I think he got 80. He didn't get the 90 again? I thought he got the 90 again.
That is so insane, isn't it? Think about that. Yeah. 90. Imagine talking about a guy scoring 90 goals.
I know, right.
They don't even play 90 games. 82, more than a goal a game.
Right. I'm guessing nuts. I'm guessing 80, 85, something like that is his next highest.
18 games with the Blues always sticks out in my mind. 87 is his second highest.
Okay. What year? 85?
84. 83, 84.
I'm claiming that as a win, too.
Highest assist total.
I'm rebounding nicely this week.
Well, you count everything.
His highest assist total is 163.
Wow. More than 2 a game. They played 80 games then.
I thought Kucherov getting 128 was insane this year. 168, 163 assists.
128 points.
Points, right. Kucherov. Thought that was crazy.
163 assists, 83-84. It's awesome. All right, Gretzky trivia. I'm going to have to make it good because I don't think my list is really that good.
Let's just again ponder what the goalies looked like.
I liked the game more.
Sure. The goaltending was horrendous.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.